You're listening to Two Guys, One Album with music insiders Michael Heidemann and Paul Farva.
We are two music experts.
Green Experts is pushing it.
Taking on the greatest albums of all time.
It's a little subjective.
Song by song with careful analysis.
All right, I wouldn't say careful. Look, we're having fun with the songs.
Two Guys,
One Album.
Paul, can I just say how happy I am that we're doing this album today?
I am also very happy we're doing this album. And it's really an album out of left field. I feel like a lot of people like to tell us what they want to hear us do, and we just told them all to f*** off. We're going to pick an album we want to pick, and we both agree.
Yes.
Rufus Wainwright, Want One,
yes,
on tonight's Two Guys,
One Album.
Welcome into the episode, everybody. My name is Michael Heidemann, and I'm here with
Paul Farvar.
It's great to see you, Paul.
It's great to see you, Michael.
This is Two Guys, One Album, as we had mentioned before. We're here on WGN Radio's podcast network. It's great to talk to you all. Now,
we're also on Google Play now, officially, and iTunes and SoundCloud. Yeah,
SoundCloud.
We're not some jibs just babbling here in a truck. We're like professionals.
Jibs. What's a jib?
I don't know. Jib jab? I don't know.
I miss that site.
Yeah, right?
Wait, but that's the point we're trying to make here. We're two music experts, insiders, lovers of music.
Yeah.
And two solid guys who have listened to a lot of music in our day. And we're taking on albums that you've listened to, that you love.
Or didn't know about.
Like this one. This is kind of a rarity.
This is one that's out of left field, but it's so underrated. It's such a good album. Mm-hmm. And what we do on the show is just review it. A lot of people have passions about the stuff we do, which mm-hmm. is great. And we're going to cover that in a viewer mail option we're going to come up with. But we're not idiots up here. We know what we're talking about.
We're not a bunch of jibs.
But it's also, we're not taking ourselves too seriously, okay? And we're doing this all in under 30 minutes. Every episode we've ever done has always been under 30 minutes. Isn't that right? We're nothing if we're not accurate.
Yes, without a doubt, under 30 minutes. Just like a piece of pizza.
Yeah. If you don't like it, if we don't guarantee you a podcast in 30 minutes or less, we'll give you your money back.
Best album reviewing podcast out there. Ira Glass said it himself.
Yes. Also, Gandhi's daughter is a big fan of our work. But let's get into it, right?
Deepak Chopra has said that we are not jibs.
He did also Meghan McCain. Big fan of our stuff.
We
all
fan.
Over the planet. All the ladies on The View love Two Guys, One Album.
All right, but so those are the guidelines. That's what we're here to do. You know our names. You know the game. And this is the album Want One by Rufus Wainwright. It is the third studio album by the Canadian-American singer. It released through DreamWorks Records on September 23rd, 2003. Holy crap, Paul, 2003.
This is 15 years old.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
I could have sworn this was released 6 years ago.
I remember when it came out. It was so cool. I was like, this is a great album. And this song, by the way, is such a great intro. It's just so chill, and it's got like a Wizard of Oz thing going on in the background. That's what it is.
It's very orchestral. It's very over the top, like Rufus Wainwright is. And it's a great introduction to who the artist is himself. I didn't know what I was stepping into the minute that I heard about this Rufus Wainwright guy. I knew he was good friends with Ben Folds. He went on tours with him. Mm-hmm. But holy smokes, did I get blown away by this album. It was at the time, 2003, you're thinking Avril Lavigne, Fall Out Boy, pop punk is taking over the airwaves.
You were thinking that. I was listening to Ryan Adams, Damian Rice, and Rufus Wainwright. That's what I was listening to. So,
and REM records on repeat?
No, REM I was not listening to. But singer-songwriters were huge for me in 2003, and a lot of it had to do with Ben Folds, had to do with Jason Mraz, sadly to say, John Mayer, and Rufus Wainwright.
And REM records on repeat?
No REM repeat.
I was just wondering.
This is a great album, and that start, Oh What a World, is such a great intro. Rufus Wainwright is so talented. He's got such a great voice. And
just that subtle, kind of smoky, just I don't give an F kind of feel with his voice is beautiful. And that's why he's classified in a lot of scenes, zines, and music insider notes as Baroque pop, which you don't really hear about a lot because of his intense work
with
pianos and, mm-hmm. and strings. Mm-hmm. And that brings us into the next song real quick.
I don't know what it is.
Paul, what's the next song?
I don't know what it is.
Paul, what is the next song?
I don't know what it is.
Are you sure?
That's the name of the song.
I don't know what it is.
Who's on first?
Oh, yeah. I see what you did there.
I don't know where to go, but you gotta be there. I don't know where to fall, but I know that it's comfortable where. I don't know where it is.
Hit the beat. So this is an interesting song because there's a little bit of backstory behind it, in fact, that I didn't know about until I read up on the song a tad.
Yeah.
When he first came up with the lines, I don't know what it is, but you gotta do it. I don't know where to go, but you gotta be there. He was at a party for the Strokes in New York, which is an
album we covered about. Yeah. I read that as well.
That was a good episode. 30 minutes or less, right?
30 minutes or less, like everything else.
Go check it out.
But yeah, this song was probably one of the bigger hits off. I think WXRT was playing this at the time, and alternative or adult contemporary was playing. Maybe it was AAA. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I was like, wow, this is cool. And then I think this was my first experience with Rufus Wainwright was this album.
Yeah. Most of the time I wouldn't like this. People have used the derogatory phrase of pussy rock to this
Sissy
music.
Sissy rock is what Sissy I would call rock. It, which was all the bands I was in. So if you got a problem with that, that's your prerogative because I can't do anything about it.
Should I edit that out of the podcast?
No, we're fine. Sissy rock.
Sissy rock. But the cool thing about what he does with this music is he does it the best. In fact, not only did he write all this album by himself, included a lot of his family members on this record.
Kate McGarrigle.
Had a little banjo solo in 14th Street, which we'll be hearing in a little bit.
Yeah.
He had a lot of guest vocals from his sister, I believe, Martha Wainwright.
And also, he had celebrities sitting in on a couple of the songs, too. But we'll get to there. But this one is David Zapadin playing clarinet.
Would you just call him?
David Zapadin.
Oh.
He's friends with Ahmed Wallace. By the way,
they just hang out on Wednesdays, Paul.
Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. If you message us at twoguysonealbum at gmail.com and know what we're talking about when we say the Ahmed Wallace thing, we will give you free tickets to something.
Yes, we
I'm
will.
Serious. Just email us because we've been making that reference now in pretty much every episode since it came up. And nobody has picked up on that. So you're listening. Tell us you're fans. And I'll give you two tickets to any of my shows at the Laugh Factory. How's that?
That's a pretty good deal.
I'll buy you a drink if you're of age. But why are we talking about Ahmed Wallace?
Well, we got to give
him
the email address if we're going to be doing that.
Two guys, the number two, guys, number one album at gmail.com.
Yes, email us anytime. And we have the same Twitter, too. Two guys, the number one album at twitter.com.
At twitter.org. Yeah.
But that's a good deal.
Yeah, I think it's a good deal. But anyway, yeah, you're right. He has a lot of great musicians on this. For those of you who don't know, his family is super, super musical. Rufus Wainwright is Luden Wainwright's son. I mean, that's got to be, you know what? Being in that family mm-hmm. must have been really annoying at times where people like would sing What's for Dinner. What's for dinner, Mom? It's like, ravioli, and you're like, Mom, I just want my goddamn food. Like
concerto about ravioli.
We don't need to make everything a whole concert.
Yeah, I could imagine the song about like, what are we gonna have for breakfast? And like, pop tarts.
Yeah, don't get me started when they went out to Chili's for baby leg ribs. It would be a horrible, horrible night. But it's got to be hard to be in that situation where you're. Parents are so
musical, yeah,
and he fits the bill. Like you can see he's influenced by his parents, but he also took this music and this amazing voice that he has to a new level. And I don't know what it is a great example of that.
It's interesting you say that because if you look at a lot of the lyrics of this album, a lot of the songs reference his mom and dad. I mean, mm-hmm. if you look at songs like 11-11, where he talks about and Want especially, where he goes, I want a little a taste of my mom and a little dash of my dad. I can't, those aren't the exact lyrics, but he does make mention of them.
But that's true. But I don't know what it is. Was probably the, if you don't know who Rufus Wainwright is, my guess is that that's one of the songs that you knew about him. Unless it's, what is he covered Hallelujah as well, I believe.
Oh my gosh.
It's so a great one. Although Buckley's is better. We'll talk about that.
I was gonna hold off on that until we got to use a little bit more of the songs. But holy smokes, I love Rufus Wainwright and I love this album so much. But the minute that I stopped listening to it and I got so addicted to it, I heard Hallelujah, great job. I heard Across the Universe, great job that he did.
Forgot about that.
But holy smokes. Oh, also,
Out of
the Game, too. Yeah, which was his later single on. But all the other songs and the immense amount of people who were just like, oh, yeah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. I could not listen to that song anymore.
Uh-huh.
Too many people like that song.
Well, they would have different versions of Hallelujah, whether it was Rufus or Jeff Buckley, and then they would play it in all the movies and
the soundtracks. Well, Leonard Cohen wrote it, right?
Yeah, his version's totally different, which, rest in peace, Leonard Cohen. But I feel like for my generation, Jeff Buckley put him on the map, put that song Hallelujah on the map. And then for your generation, it was probably Rufus. But all of it is due to like shows like Glee, I bet, or whatever, where they would do
Glee.
That shit. They would do these covers, which, you know, you get mad. They're like, oh, now all these people, the pool got bigger to like Rufus Wainwright. But hell, I mean, if talent's good. You gotta spread the love.
It's just a freaking vicious world.
It is a vicious world, which brings us to number three.
Oh, every time. It's just so perfect. It's like we're strolling in a meadow with every
it's the same song.
Beat of the songs. Oh. Anything is not accurate.
Can we edit that out?
And we're going to hold for the pause.
Should we clap there?
You know what, Paul? It's just a vicious, vicious world. Every time I hear this music, it's just like strolling through a meadow.
I feel like I've heard you say that before.
Over the phone.
I forgot about this song, and I don't like it.
You don't like Vicious World?
No, this is one of the ones I would skip. But it's not bad.
You know what?
No, you don't. We'll listen to it.
Let's add that to a guideline. You get one choice of a skip song on an album.
I'm gonna.
Are you gonna hold off on it?
I know what I'm gonna skip. So. Well, do you like this song? Tell us about it. Why do you like this song? It's only 2 minutes.
It's the shortest song on the album.
Two minutes 15.
That's why I like it the most. But here's why I like it. This swelling chorus.
You know what? I remember. It's not bad. I give it half a star.
Gosh, man, his voice is
just enchanting.
He's
got a great voice. You know what the thing is? He could sing a freaking menu at Denny's and you'd be like, this guy's talented. I never heard asparagus sound so cool. I mean, he's got such a good voice. And as I've said this before on this podcast, the things that drive me in music are great singer-songwriters, great words, great lyrics, and great voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, you know, he's got that such a great voice.
It's
and I remember...
velvety.
I saw him in concert, and it was like back-to-back weeks. He was at the Riviera, and then Damian Rice was there, and they were such great concerts. But what I do remember about the concert with Rufus Wainwright, I will say this, is their crowds were so nice. Mm-hmm, I remember I wanted to I wanted to hear him play Vibrate, which we're going to get to, and I go, I'm going to go up there up front. And nobody had a problem. And you know what it was? It was the first time I experienced a concert where the majority of the crowd was homosexual, and they were like, they were in their moment for, you know, there was a lot of couples that were getting into the songs, and I was like, everyone is so much nicer here.
It, absolutely, it's one
there was no alpha male like pushing to get in the front or assholes at the concert. I was the asshole, if anything.
Probably, yeah.
I was by myself.
It's one of the most. It's one of the most positive albums you can create. Yeah. It's about love. It's about life. It's about great things. There's no hate spewed. Even the love songs that are kind of tormented lover songs kind of end with a positive vibe. And speaking about his connection to the gay and lesbian crowd, he won Outstanding Music Artist at the 15th GLAAD Media Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
And some of the greatest songs that ever
he's a big advocate for the gay community and this the concert made me realize like how much, and that's why I went back and saw him again. I was like, man, that's gonna be a fun show. Everyone's got a positive energy.
Yeah, and by the way, can we just point out the fact that he has beautiful, beautiful hair?
Great, like, hair.
Great face, great hair, amazing piano player. The guy can do it all. You know, it's kind of upsetting that he isn't more famous than he should be. He should be like one of the best songwriters out there.
I don't think he gives a shit. I think he's just happy with his life.
Man, do you think he's just drinking wine right now in California?
He's drinking wines, watching movies of himself. Which brings us to the next song. Movies of Myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is called.
Yeah.
This is one of those meh songs.
It is one of the meh songs until it...
Right here?
Not here. It's coming up, though. Because if you listen to it enough, and I definitely did, this, you know why I listen to this song a lot? Side note.
Let's hear it.
My story about this album...
It better not be a you and a lawnmower.
No.
Okay, go on then.
Another reference to another episode.
Yes.
T-shirt for whoever gets that reference. Two guys, one album at gmail.com.
Yeah. Our first T-shirt.
All right.
What's the story?
Quick pause for this great part of the song. Looking like a
hag and start giving me something. Oh, yeah. I forgot how awesome this part is. I take it back.
So this
I take it back. I forgot.
Great song.
I love this song.
They have
now.
These teeny little hooks that you forget about.
So good. And just start slow sometimes.
And I listened to this album probably 1,000 times because this was the perfect makeout album right when I was like in college. Just bring girls to my dorm,
yeah.
And I'd put on this album, and it was just immediately just the vibe was perfect.
16 minutes in, this would come on. So is this right when you guys started to make out?
Yeah,
this is
I think so.
Is that
movies of myself? That I make a movie.
You'd make out around one minute in, and then you'd be done around 1:37.
To be honest, the
37 seconds of bliss with Michael Heidel.
Not to make too many puns, but I think that I think the real action started happening around Vibrate.
Okay.
Number seven.
We'll let you relive your moment of glory with Monica.
I'm not going to relive it. I'm just saying it was a great moment in my life, Paul.
He's all smiling.
And by the way,
can't see him.
The first girl that ever showed me this album was I heard the song Beautiful Child, and there was this girl who lived in Rockford, and I would go and visit her all the time. Her name was Jenny. She was mentioned in the last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But Jenny would go and see me. And I would see her, and it was the first girl that I was 16 years old, and I traveled like almost out of state to go and see. And she said, "You got to listen to this singer. He sings this song called Beautiful Child that I can't get enough of." And that's what made me totally enthralled.
Jenny
with
Jenny is the one that got you
Beautiful Child.
Song, right?
Yes, thank you very much, Jenny. Shout out, Jenny.
All right, we'll talk about that when we get to Beautiful Child. But right now, we got to play Pretty Things, which is number 5 on this album. Oh.
Pretty Things. This was my skippable song.
Is it? I like this song. And you said Vicious World was the shortest song on the album. You were wrong.
Oh,
Pretty
man.
Things is 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
And Vibrate's even shorter than Vicious World 2.
No, yeah, you're right.
Darn it.
We're nothing if we're not accurate. So you don't have to send the film correction
there. All right, you
know
what, Paul? I'm going to invoke my first skip.
Go ahead.
This one.
Skip it.
Sorry, Vicious
Go
Word.
Or go ahead.
I'm sorry. That was Pretty Things.
Go or go
oh,
ahead.
Oh, and this song.
It's called
I'm
Go
going,
or Go
I'm
or Ahead.
I'm going,
go
Paul.
Ahead.
I'm going.
Go or go
I
ahead.
I swear. Okay, this is one of my favorite songs
of all
time. It's
called Go or Go Ahead. This is a great song. Beatlesque.
Beatlesque. I can actually work out to this song because I love it so much.
It's
it just
only
pumps
six
me
minutes.
Up. Only 6 minutes.
That's how long your workouts are?
Thank you. It's a quick workout, mostly cardio.
You know what's funny? People. Let people listen to it a little
okay.
bit.
Guardian angels.
God, it's so good.
Left me stranded. It sounds like he's a big, like, wad of dip in his mouth when he's singing this, too.
Feeling abandoned. I haven't heard this song in so long. It's so
makes
good
one
still.
Harden, but what has happened to
so
listen to that guitar strum. Is that a 12-string guitar that they're playing on?
I can't tell.
It's gorgeous the way that they play.
Well, he's got all the atmospheric stuff going on in the background, which is so cool, and it just creates a. I mean, it's almost like OK Computer in a way, you can say.
Yeah.
Do you, like a sissier version of
more
it.
More ethereal, beautiful sound. It's almost like you're in outer space listening to the song,
right,
too.
Which is why I said OK Computer.
Is that an album that takes place in outer space? I don't see the connection.
Of course. Yeah, this is one of those songs that, like, is just so cool. But what I was going to say, you talk about working out. Like, this is the stuff that I used to work out to, too. And actually, I found an old workout CD I had because I used to wear the CD CD Walkman on my arm.
I remember that.
And I make mixtapes. And people are like, that's your workout mix? And it was like Jeff Buckley, Damien Rice, Counting Crows, and then, you know, under
R.E.M.
Queen, David Bowie.
Wallace.
No, R.E.M.
Oh, sorry.
But Rufus Wainwright was on it. Not a song from this album, but I did work out to this stuff because I would get into the music and it would motivate me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are like, how do you work out to this song? It's so sissy. I'm like, that's what I do. I can't. If I work out to EDM, I get like a heart attack.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful song, and
it's
that's
so
why
cool.
That makes it so great. What one is was it was actually? Oh, I got to hold on for this swell real quick. The producer of this album did an amazing job with mixing these levels and just creating this kind of atmosphere with this album. Paul, did you take a look at how many people were
the personnel
a
on
part
this
of this?
It's pretty insane. And it's cool because there you look at the list and you're like, holy shit, LeVon Helm was on this. And Matt Johnson, who played drums on this, also played drums for Rachel Yamagata.
Wow.
And a lot of other singer-songwriters. Charlie Sexton. I mean, give me a break. And of course, Teddy Thompson, Linda Thompson, all these amazing, amazing artists.
Paul Spong played trumpet.
No, yeah, he did. But no Ahmed Wallace.
He, really?
No Ahmed.
Did you check it twice?
I did. I can't believe it. You have LeVon Helm, but you don't invite Ahmed Wallace.
You've got Roddy Lorimer playing trumpet and flugelhorn. But no Ahmed.
Dave Stewart is on this bass trombonist, who is also in the Eurythmics.
That's right. Oh, we got here Adam Duritz.
No, there's no Adam Duritz.
Are you what?
No, surprisingly.
Bass trombone.
No.
Oh,
don't make up shit. but yeah, I mean, this is such a great song. Great all around. But it brings us to what I think is the best song on the album. Vibrate, number 7.
Number 7, Vibrate.
This song was ahead of its time. Which I don't think
truly
makes sense anymore because people don't put their phones on vibrate anymore.
This was my voicemail for the first 2 years of my college career at DePaul.
At your answering machine or you're on your cell phone?
On my cell phone voicemail. What did I say?
No, you didn't say either.
And I remember every time I'd get my friends saying, hey, there's some guy screaming a song in your voicemail, but
I really
don't
like it.
Said.
Change it. No, this is such a good song.
But it was always the long note that he holds in this song, which is so beautiful. And people would just be like, do I leave a message now or later?
You know that the London Choir is on this too, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, London Oratory Choir. Credited on this album, on this song. And orchestra leader Gavin Wright.
But I don't think they have other. Do they have other voices on this song?
No, it's just the.
Just the orchestra.
Maybe it's subtle. We'll have to listen.
So this was actually a part of a 2-disc collection. It was originally thought of just being created as Want 1 and Want 2, and eventually just a double disc set called Want, which came out. Want 2 obviously didn't do as well as this album. I'm guessing because it was like the B-sides of
but
Want.
But he did. You know, he went on Letterman And he played Don't Know What It Is, but on The Late Late Show, he played Vibrate. Mm-hmm. This is all the stuff he played that year.
Mm-hmm.
But Late Show with David Letterman, he played Dinner at 8. He did Letterman twice in 2003. That's how much Letterman liked him.
And Letterman, like, he only brought back people that he really enjoyed.
Absolutely. I mean,
that didn't do too well.
A cool idea.
Cool
I remember
idea.
When this song came out, I will tell you this. Mm-hmm. I had a crush on a girl, and I was like, this song resonated with me because I was like, shit, that's what I do. I have my phone on vibrate. Mm-hmm. The only person I'm hoping to hear from after 9 p.m. is so-and-so.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Can't say her name?
Well, I don't remember which girl it was at the time.
Jenny?
No.
That's mine.
I think it was Amanda. I think it was Amanda. I'll go with Amanda.
Oh, but, man. You know, there is no better connection that you can have with a girl than just sharing an album, right?
Yeah,
it's
I
such
agree.
A beautiful thing.
But this is what my point on that is that now you don't have that vibrate anymore. Like, you just wait for the text or they slide into your DMs. So he's got to make a new album. He's got to make a new song with sliding in your DMs.
Oh, that's going to be a dirty, dirty dubstep song, I think.
No, Rufus doesn't do that.
What's your sound on your phone?
I just have a regular ring.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Pretty boring.
I feel like you'd be more of a
AC/DC Thunderstruck.
Cowbell?
No, I was, it was funny. Someone left their phone, on the stand at a comedy club I was at. And then all of a sudden it started playing and you'd hear their music and you're like the last person I would think that would have like Commodores. Do you remember? Like, why is that your fucking song? But anyway. 14th Street is the next song on the album.
Oh my gosh, I love this song so right. much.
I might just almost pass on this just to screw you over. But
what?
No, let me hear it first. Let me see if it resonates still. Oh no, I love this song.
The honky tonk 1950s beautiful orchestral 14th Street. Lots of like old honky piano playing.
Do you know who plays the drum on this? LeVon Helm from the band.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know that until I read the notes that you provided.
Listen to the different types of snare on it, too. Kind of a more of a like a docile, watered-down
Sexton
snare.
Is on guitar.
Charlie Sexton? Oh, I knew that.
It's a choir again.
It's like a children. This is the London
this
Children's
the choir.
Choir.
Yeah, this should be the children's.
This is the
choir.
One.
But it says seven here.
I just want to sing all of these songs. So it didn't do too well on the charts, surprisingly. It debuted at number 60 on the Billboard Top 200. The highest position on the chart was his fifth release of his fifth I'm sorry, I'm getting a bit derailed by how much I love this song. Wainwright's highest position on the chart until the release of his fifth studio album, Release the Stars, in 2007, which reached peak position of number 130 in France and 77 in the Netherlands. So he's done very well with his chart positions.
Netherlands.
It's crazy because he was up a lot against a lot of competition in 2003.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who was the number one songwriter in 2003? What was like the big album, do you think?
My guess is R.E.M. I think Britney Spears.
I don't know why this has been on my
brain. Well, he makes a reference to a song about Britney Spears in here, which I think is coming up on, I think it's on 11/11.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is it was Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera.
Okay, you want to know who he's up against this year in 2003?
Who?
Get Rich or Die Trying by 50 Cent.
Oh,
Live
yeah.
Dangerously in Love by Beyonce. Hail to the Thief, Radiohead. Yeah. Speaker Box, The Love Below.
Speaker
Meteora, Linkin Park. The Black Album by Jay-Z. American Life by Madonna. Chocolate Factory by R. Kelly. No comment. Heavier Things by John Mayer. Ella Funk by the Black Eyed Peas. And yes, Grand Champ by DMX.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No Britney Spears. I was wrong. Okay.
Wait, no, there might be. There's a ton.
Well, that's
that
fine.
That came out that year.
He doesn't care about those accolades. He
just doesn't
sold out
care.
The Riviera.
Oh, Room on Fire by The Strokes, too.
Yeah. Well, you know what? none of those guys or girls played Letterman twice. So
I think they all did.
No, oh, not in the same year. No, only person.
What about
Correct
Nick?
Me if I'm wrong.
What about Nick Hitchens on the tuba? Did he play?
I don't think so.
Okay.
What do we got next? Natasha?
Oh, Natasha. Okay, I have another story about this one real quick before you skip it. I'll tell it quick.
It better not be about a girl named Natasha.
It is about a girl named Natasha.
You put it on again, a mixtape?
Again, yes. It wasn't a mixtape. Now I've listened to this album for so many years that I knew this by heart. And I learned it on guitar, and I said, I'll play the song for you. And I played
it
for her.
You said you wrote it for her? Did you say it wasn't by you? I've done that. I played a song for a girl.
Really? We've all done it.
Dave, she said, oh, did you write that? It was more than words. And I was like, are you kidding me? And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to say yeah.
What?
By more
she
than
didn't
words.
Know
she didn't
more
know more than
words?
Words by extreme. Nope. And she was of age to know that.
Okay, well,
we
then
joke about it
you
now.
Get the win on that one.
Well, let's hear the Natasha story.
Okay. Oh, you want to hear the Natasha story?
Yeah.
So it was just that. I told her about the song, and she goes, you know, there's no songs that are called Natasha. And I go, well, you know what?
I beg to differ, Natasha, if that's your real name. That's what you said.
Then I pulled out a guitar from my wall, and then a spotlight hit my eyes, and I played her the song. And
hit it.
She fell totally in love with me. Well, I don't know if she did that. She's a nice person, but we don't talk really anymore.
Where is she now? Elgin?
She's Elgin.
I don't know.
No, it's more so Oswego. I don't know where she is these days. But she was a good person, and that doesn't stop this from being one of the greatest songs on this album. It's
this?
Pretty.
Really?
Well, think about it. It's a great song.
Ah, no way.
Okay, what's your top girl
name song?
Yeah, girl name song.
8675309. Jenny, I got your number.
By Romantics?
No.
Who sings that?
I forgot.
Doobie Brothers?
Hurry up.
I think this is one of the best. It's so pretty.
I don't think so.
I mean,
it's okay, but it's definitely not. It's Tommy Two Tone that sang that song.
Rosanna by... No, it isn't.
Tommy Two Tone sings 8675309.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Well, good for him. Rosanna by Toto?
That's a good one.
I'm not going to say Roxanne by...
Roxanne!
Oh, my
gosh. Of course, it's in the top 10. I forgot about that one.
It's about a prostitute.
Who cares? It's a girl's name.
Maybe Natasha's about a prostitute, too.
Maybe it is.
Did it say it in the notes?
No.
Okay.
All right, let's go to the next song. Harvester of Hearts, number 10.
Oh, another good one.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I think this is one of the worst songs on the album.
Do you want to use your one skip?
Let me hear it for a second. I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah. Little jazzy feel.
It's definitely a departure from the rest of the album. It shows his variety and his abilities to write all kinds of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Good shit, I mean. Just a person.
What would you do? So you saw him at the Riviera, huh?
Twice.
Was it the same
this
album?
This is the song I went to... No, I think it was a different one. This is the song I definitely went to go get a drink.
Yeah, it's a little bit slow. I'm sure he plays it really well on the...
plays it well.
When he's playing it live. I saw him perform with Ben Folds at Summerfest.
Oh, nice.
In about 2004. No, I take it back. It probably was 2003 because... I was still in high school. I remember asking my mom's permission to go to Summerfest in Milwaukee.
All right.
Oh, and then here it is. This is the famous
Child.
Jenny song, Beautiful Child.
This is a great song. I like the bigness of the song, where everything is small and then all of a sudden it's great.
So big, they swell it. It's almost like a Disney like ballad, you know?
Yeah.
Because you could see this being played in The Lion King. Simba is being is handed up right now.
I did look up other songs of best names.
Yes,
of girls.
We can put this song on pause for a second.
No, just let it play in the background. Let it play. I'll do it subtly during the each.
Okay. Who is your beautiful child, as far as girls go?
We forgot about Billie Jean.
Oh, Billie Jean.
We forgot about Angie by Rolling Stone.
Angie. But not as pretty as Natasha.
Last Dance with Mary Jane.
Good song. Good song.
And Jane Says by Jane's Addiction.
But the problem with those songs, they're not directly about a girl. It's about a lot of things around her life.
What about Jolene?
Okay, Jolene is an amazing song.
What about...
But that's a negative song. That was a very positive song about Natasha.
What about Meet Virginia by Trent?
How many tuba players are on Meet Virginia?
We forgot.
Wainwright had about six.
Mrs. Robinson.
Oh, okay. Mrs. Robinson. An oversaturated song. I can't listen to that song anymore, though.
Rosalita, I'm sorry to all... Come Out Tonight. Rhiannon by Fleetwood Mac. Melissa.
Okay.
By Allman Brothers. Jessica by Allman Brothers.
Jessica's a good song.
Janie's Got a Gun by Aerosmith. Roxanne,
not
which we talked about.
Not the most pretty song.
And of course, Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline.
But we've distracted from the song. Beautiful Child. You guys have listened to it. It's got all
you know what?
Kinds
I take
of
it
stuff
back.
Going on.
You know what song? Sorry to pause. I something just came to my life, to my mind.
We don't pause during the show, by the way. That's a rule we forgot to mention.
We never pause. Never, ever pause. We forgot about the song, Michelle by the Beatles.
Yeah.
That is,
or
that
Michelle
is,
by Guns N' Roses. My Michelle.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Well, I was going to say Michelle is the closest towards Natasha, I feel
like. Oh, because it's one word? Beautiful Child.
Beautiful
Child. Great song. Number 12. What do we got next, Michael? Want? The title of the album.
Don't wanna make it rain. Just want.
I think he's got the big old wad of Bazooka Joe sitting there on his park bench, singing about just wanting some more. Great voice.
Just want.
Great falsetto-y. You know, Adam Levine wishes he had Rufus Wainwright's voice.
He's got a great voice, great octaves, and yeah, he can't. It's just a smooth sound, and this song showcases all that he can portray, and not to mention just the production value of what he's got going on in the background too. Mm-hmm.
Would you see Rufus again if he came back around?
Yeah, I think I would. I haven't bought any albums of his in the recent years. I know he has a new one that's out, so I'd want to listen to those before I bought them. I'm not sure if I would go to the Riviera again, though. I wonder where he would play. Where was the last place he played in Chicago?
Hard to say. He did a really long string of shows at Summerfest, I remember.
That's not Chicago, Michael.
No.
We're nothing if we're not acting.
And then here's the reference to his mom and dad. Holy smokes, Paul. He is playing the Vic on November 20th.
Well, guess we're going to have a little date.
Guess we know what we're going to do. Paul's going to push his way up to the front for probably
right
again.
I want to hear 11-11.
Hey, get out of my way.
Sorry, I didn't mean to break up your makeup session, but I'm here by myself. I came to watch 11-11, and that's what I paid for.
One of the most beautiful albums that we could possibly listen to.
Let's go to the next song, which, speaking of, what I think is one of the greatest songs on
the
album.
Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome to the Jungle. Best song with numbers in it. 11-11. You know what? Whenever... We'll play it a little bit.
Here's that mandolin that comes on in. Great use of stringed instruments. Can we just say how awesome he is to just put these all together? Because not a lot of bands will be like, you know what this song needs? More mandolin. It's like, we need more guitar from this guy and my old buddy from high school needs to jump on the drum set. But he uses so much orchestral great sound.
Love it.
And that's what separates him from everyone else in my eyes, especially on this album. I don't know, his new albums, I can't really connect to as much. I don't know.
I have to get them. I haven't watched them, but yeah. I do. I always felt for years when I would sleep in, I would always want to make sure I woke up before 11:11 because I always felt like if I didn't wake up before 11:11, I'm a bum like Rufus Wainwright.
Oh, yeah.
He says it a few times.
Did you ever make wishes at 11:11, Paul?
No.
Never? Not one?
No, just 9:11. Whoa, too soon. Just kidding.
Zing.
No, I love this song. It's so good.
It's very pretty.
Other songs with the numbers in them, Murder by Numbers by the Police, but that doesn't actually have a number in them.
Murder's the only one you think of. Murder
it by just
numbers.
Says numbers, but there's a lot of songs with one in it. One More Time, One More Night, One More Time by Def Punk, One More Night by Phil Collins, One Minute to Midnight by Justice.
First Date by Blink-182.
First Date by Blink-182.
Every One Direction song. Every one in it.
There's no other songs. 11:11. There's another band called Adian. Audion, who has a song called 11:11. And I'm just looking up these other songs. All right. We've come to the end. What do we
already
got? Dinner at 8, number 14.
Dinner at 8.
No matter how strong, I'm going to take you down with one little stone. I'm going to break down and see what you're worth, what you're really worth.
This is Dinner 8 is what we were talking about earlier, which is having dinner at the Wainwrights' house where everyone is singing everything that's going on.
It's like, will pass you pass the
butter, Luden? And you're like, come on.
My just, son, will you get to, me yeah. another slice of bread?
It's got to be overbearing after it's, like... After appetizers, you're like, all right, Dad, I get it.
Yeah, and just imagine that after they
sing. Does anyone want dessert? You're like, I'm out of here. I was, thanks for the invite, Rufus, but I got to go. I think there's got to be a limit to how many songs.
I'm not hungry anymore.
I can't hear the word pepper again the way you guys say it. And then when you guys started chiming in with all the fork talk, I had to get out of here.
And then your mom needed to pull out her banjo and do a quick solo during like the during the squash.
Yeah. Who
medley?
Does that? When you are waiting for dessert, there's no reason to sing about it.
Or like bust out a harp solo like randomly just at the dinner table.
Yeah. It was in Oliver, we get it. Like Oliver was a song about he asked for more. I get it. I'm not going to ask for more. Never
you
before.
Can, you can never.
Boy this wanted is, more.
This is probably why he's been staying in such great shape for all those years. You can never get seconds. No. You have to sing it every time.
You have to sing everything in that family. I'm ready to give my review.
I think it's about that time. To
I
give
think
a
it is. And
album.
We, as always, I see that we kept it under 30 as we promised.
just a hair under 30. We almost made it there.
I'm ready. And you know how we give our reviews. 11 likes is the most you can give. And that's just the way we choose it. And we have options for emojis and whatnot. I am going to give this album 8 likes, 1 heart, and then 1 clock to remind yourself that it's 11:11.
Oh, that's very poetic of you, Paul.
Yeah. And then a phone, too. And a phone for vibrate. Yeah, that's it. 8 likes. The phone emoji, the heart emoji, and the clock emoji for the 11:11.
That's a great, great score. So yeah, like you said, we give it best out of 11. We should have brought that up in the beginning of the podcast. That's something we should have brought up.
I mean, this is how they learn. They gotta wait till the end.
They wait till the end to the good parts. Just like the dinner at the Wainwright House.
Yeah, goddamn right. This is how we do things in Two Guys, One Album.
One of the greatest albums that I have heard in my life. And that's not only, you know, a lot of the times when we go over these albums, Paul, it's not about just the art and the mixing and the production of the album or like even the sales of the album. It's about what it means to you, and that's why I think our listeners get so passionate and write us hate mail all the time because we shit on
we
their
get
albums.
Good mails too, yeah.
Yeah, we get some good ones too, but we shit on their albums and they're like, hey man, this means a lot to me. Yeah. Landlady was not about his wife.
Yeah, that was a U2 reference.
Go back and listen to that.
But
one,
I agree with you. Yeah, this album, it was interesting because I gave you a list of the albums that I really liked, mm-hmm. and it resonated with you. I'm like, holy shit, this is an album that spans two different music styles, and we both loved it. And I like that. I like that.
I like it as well. And for that reason, I'm going to give Want One by Rufus Wainwright one of my highest scores yet. 10
what?
Likes. 10
That's
likes.
That's impossible.
I can't get enough of this album. I will never get sick of it.
10 likes. Wow. Okay.
I will never get sick of it. I listen to it to this day, and that means I've listened to it every single year since 2003, and it's been about 45 years that I've been listening to this album then.
You said you hadn't listened to this in a while, so which one
I haven't listened to it in a while in full, but I have listened to songs like Go and Go Ahead, 14th Street, Beautiful Child, Natasha, okay. Vibrate.
I just want to make sure we're accurate on this.
Yes.
Okay.
I will try to keep it accurate. 10 likes, and I'm going to give it a sword emoji because of the album cover art. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to give it a brown-haired girl because of all
Natasha.
No, not Natasha.
She had blonde hair.
No, she was important. It was more so about Jenny.
Jenny had brown hair?
Yeah.
Jenny with the brown hair?
Jenny. She was just a really nice girl, and there's nothing like crazy about it. She was just a nice person, and she showed me this album, so I appreciate
it.
Gotta give her a shout out. And then you know what? What the hell? Piano Keys. I'm gonna just do it because that's the way I roll.
Makes sense.
Because he plays the piano a lot.
That is our wrap of Two Guys.
One album.
If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us. Not only the WGN channel, you can get us on Google Play, mm-hmm. iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, wherever you get yourself. Also, review us. Even if you hate us, review us.
Yes.
We want to hear about you. But if you don't like us and you don't give us 5 stars, you got to explain why. I want to hear the reasons, and also leave your address because I'm not going to do anything about it.
Yes, and make sure you do, because that's the one thing we haven't had yet. On our iTunes, please rate and review us because we want to hear from you. And as our listeners know who have written us letters, we respond to every single one of
yes.
them. I know that because I stayed up till 5 o'clock
you
in the
did.
Morning the other
and we're
night.
We're going to talk about those on a separate – we're going to do a Facebook Live, and mm-hmm. we're going to address all that stuff as well as some surprises we have in store for 2018.
Oh.
We can't tell anyone yet.
Hey, 2018 is almost over with, too.
Well, 2018
we
is when
hurry
this
up.
Stuff's going to happen, all right?
All right, so again, email us your questions, your comments, concerns. Let us know what you think about the album, and let us know what album you want us to
yeah.
cover. And that's, again, at twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. That's the number two, the number one, guys at album.
Spelled out.
Yes.
Or you can find us all on our website and Instagram. I'm at paulfcomedy.com or Paul Farvar on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, I think. Yeah, that's all. It's just my name.
Yeah.
Common spelling.
And you can find me at michaelheideman.com. You can find me at Michael H on Twitter. And my MySpace is Michael Foxy. You can find me there, too. Good luck with that, everybody.
Thank you all for listening. Can we get an outro with...
what song do you want?
Can we get an outro with 11:11?
Yeah, of course. Of course we can do that.
Okay, that would be good. So good.
Can we do some ASMRs real quick before we go?
What?
You know, like where people whisper on their microphones, and it's really popular on YouTube. You've never heard of that before?
No.
All right, I'm just going to play the song. How about that? See you next week.
Woke up this morning.